from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, beginning with chapter 6. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men and be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what's done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners and to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, pour oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would help us to treasure you and that our treasure would be found in you and in your word and that our hearts would then follow. Thank you now, we pray in your name. Amen. Please be seated. Matthew series, right? We looked at the baptism of Jesus. We looked at how the Spirit of God rested on him. The voice of God delighted in him. We saw how Jesus provides an example of how to get through temptation. He responded by quoting Scripture to the devil and to temptation. And he came as our example. More than that, however, right? He repented for you, was tempted for you, and died for you, which means Jesus really has done it all. And your hope is in the finished work of Jesus Christ by faith. This sermon is speaking to people who belong to God, and it's not to make you suddenly trust in your ability to make yourself righteous, but rather, now that you've got a relationship, what does this relationship look like? And last week we looked at part one of the Sermon on the Mount, which has the Beatitudes and tells the people of God, you're going to be salt and light. And salt does stuff and light does stuff and we need them to do stuff, right? Jesus doesn't come to let you do whatever you choose to do. He comes bringing new identity. So don't just not kill. Rather, love people authentically from the heart. Don't only be outwardly faithful in marriage. Focus on your other and focus on decency. Be people of integrity and the like. Again, we're not, nor will we ever be perfect this side of glory, but we're invited to grow to be like him. And you will delight yourself as you let him grow you like him. And as we spend time in his word, this, however, should bring you to your knees. Because if you are honest, you will continue to see that, man, there's so much you've got to do, Lord, because I am so much not like you. Wish I was. On your knees is a good place to be, and hold that thought, because it's relevant for our passage today, which is Sermon on the Mount, Part 2. Sermon on the Mount takes three chapters in Matthew. We're taking three chapters, and it's still just a hop, skip, and a jump through it with just some of the highlights. Chapter 6 really gets at the question, why do you do what you do? Your righteous, your charitable acts, your prayer, your fasting, your pursuit of treasures. What's your motivation? Why do you do this? And on the one hand, this really doesn't seem like a really hard question. On the other hand, understand God's people have a long history of enjoying being religious, but maybe not always for the right reasons, and maybe not always with the right results. Who are you and what are you living for? And we can see that in our civil behavior towards each other. I belong to God. I'm going to try and honor Him. But then as we start to take a look at what we do, and as we start to take a look at your acts of righteousness, what are acts of righteousness? Well, they're holy actions, but they're being done towards people, especially people in need. Is it a holy thing to take care of poor people? As a Christian, is it a holy thing? Is it a God-based or God-driven thing for you to help take care of poor people? Yes, it is. This is a righteous act. This is a spiritual act. But Jesus warns, right? Don't do it out there for people to see. Is this that you have to do everything anonymous? Well, no. But think about it for a moment. If you are doing this just so that people can see you, if you're doing good in order to be seen and be impressive, if people see you and are impressed, you got what you wanted. And a lot of people do this. We have plenty of people. We will not exhaust our supply of people who act good to be noticed, right? Who do righteous things to be noticed. Politics is unfortunately prevalent in our society, and yet we can see plenty of people. I don't care which party you want to draw them from. We have a very good supply, both sides, of people who will really not live as if they fear God or man or anything like that until they need some credibility with people of faith on one side of the aisle or the other. And all of a sudden, they will trot out piety and go to some church service somewhere or some spiritual leader because, aren't I spiritual? Some of them do this without being noticed and really would rather you not notice this. Many of them, it's a political tool. And we don't like that. And we know when it's being done that way. And it isn't about helping people out. It's about the person wanting to be noticed. And if in your doing something for someone, you want to be noticed and feel big about yourself, then it's really not about this person in need. It's about you. We don't need to make it about you. We can't see your heart and your motives some of the time, right? Some people, some of the time, no, I can really tell. I try not to get horribly political, but Jesse Jackson is just too good to not pick on. The man will show up at any major crisis so long as there's a camera. If there's no major crisis, or if there's no camera at the major crisis, you will not find Jesse Jackson, okay? It's amazing. You just put one out and he will appear there. Why? Because it's about him, right? And we can tell enough, this is about him and his publicistness. I'm not necessarily against all of his causes, but this is just too obvious to not mention, at least, because it's distasteful. And when people are this gross, it is distasteful, isn't it? We know this. Far better is to really not try and get noticed. God can see, however, your motives all the time. Now, you and I both know that anytime we do anything, anyone have a pure motive ever? No self-interest? No narcissism going on there just a little bit? Yeah, I did something and I feel really good about myself for doing something. Yep, I don't want anyone to see it because that makes me a better Christian. Yeah, so I'm going to be anonymous. It's easy. We can go on that hamster wheel as well. The point in all of this is, are you doing your goodness for you, for God? In the face of all the temptation to glory, do what you do for God, not for other people's opinions. Ultimately, it's done to God. You can get really hung up on, oh no, someone saw. No, it's not even trying to go there. It's somewhat of a hyperbolic sort of a statement. We have no record at all, really, of people getting up and sounding a trumpet when they gave. Jesus is really kind of engaging probably in a little bit of, oh yeah, those people who want to be seen, they just about sound a trumpet, right? Well, you know people who just about sound a trumpet. I'm here helping out, doing my thing, publicists with me, right? Even everyday people do this sort of a thing. And, you know, okay, you don't want to be that. You don't want to go there. In fact, go the other way. And as a corrective, do you have to legalistically make certain? No one ever knows. Well, no, but as a corrective against pride, and sin is intoxicating, and pride is amazingly intoxicating, right? Try and keep it as secret as possible, right? If you can get away with helping someone and they don't even know it, great. If they need to be helped, and the only way to help them is to be visible in helping them, help them. Let's not make this stupidly hard here, right? But where possible, keep it under the radar. Don't make a big deal of it. Because why are you doing this? Well, one, compassion, possibly, but two, because my God tells me I should do this. Okay, then it's between us and you saw. So beyond that, I don't care. Who are you living for? What are you living for? If you live for this world, if you get recognized in this world, then you've gotten your reward. This also should bring you to your knees. If you look in the mirror, if you just look at your own heart and mind, if you know yourself halfway well, you should be brought to your knees a little bit. There's an invitation to humility, which we can all do. Most of you all are a really great group of people. Actually, all of you all are a really great group of people who really do this. But it's an invitation for an attitude check, and it's an important one. So pray for the grace to act just between you and God. And speaking then of prayer, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, play actors. Hypocrite's a play actor. Okay, it's the classic Greek term for a play actor. He's a guy doing a role. It's not him. That's about it. You would go down to, think about this for a moment. You could go down and watch a bunch of actors getting up and being hypocrites. And then you can reflect on the fact that actors are professional hypocrites. Never mind. Not even going to go there. Right, yeah, thank you very much. Yes, okay. No pride in that. Don't be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues on the street corners to be seen by men. And again, if they're doing this to be observed, if they're doing this to be noticed, then they got noticed, then they got what they wanted. Was it really about them and God? Could they have been carrying on in Latin, even if they didn't know Latin, so long as it's impressive? Absolutely. And here's the strange thing. When you pray, don't keep babbling like the pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Have you ever noticed that Christians sometimes almost will do a little bit of a self-conscious hierarchy? Okay, he can pray out loud. He can pray out loud. I'm not going to pray out loud because I don't have the right words to say. And there are people, I will acknowledge this, okay? There are people who are truly eloquent people. I'm far more prosaic. I have a friend and brother in the Lord, Father Tim Sass. Father Tim Sass loves Jesus, priest at Holy Apostles Orthodox Church, a man of deep and profound faith. And when we have prayed together, the man prays like he is coming from a rich tapestry of cultured liturgical prayers. I almost want to write them down so I can go home and reflect on them, because that's who he is. Is it easy to feel a little intimidated? Well, after you've said it that way, what more could be said? I'll just go home now, right? That's not prayer. That's who he is. That's how he prays. And that's natural to him because of his background and community. And that's great. And I primarily pray with long words because I was brought up on Gilbert and Sullivan and am a geek. And I pray with long sentences because I need editing. Right? That doesn't make me holy. That just means that I really should learn to simplify. Right? If you will think about it for a moment, what is it that Father Tim needs? What is it that I need? What do you need? We're all invited to pray with the faith like a child. How many children wax eloquent in expressing their needs? We rejoice when they give us two or three words when they're small. We rejoice when they give us grunts when they're teens, right? And then we go from there, right? Okay. If we're called to be children of God, then if you can pray, if you can say, Lord, looks like we need this, but I don't know. Good. Lord, please help with this, I think, Lord, I don't even know, but please work. Good. This is beautiful prayer. Because this is from the heart of God's people talking to God. And if you're wanting to make it into the yearbook, go write poetry. But if you're wanting to talk with God, then talk with God. And if you keep it short, great. And if your phrases are simple, great. If you naturally want to speak longer because that's who you are, okay. But don't think that more words means more listening time from God. He already knows what you need. It's the pagans who babble on and on and on and on, at least in this description. So you're invited to even just say what you need, just say it and be done with it so you can move on. Does that feel like those winning Christian prayer times that you've encountered that we tend to think about? It's a different perspective, isn't it? It's in this context that we get the Lord's Prayer. Look at the Lord's Prayer for a moment. I challenge anyone here to find a word or clause that's redundant and can be pulled out of the Lord's Prayer. First of all, none of you would dare to say it anyway because it's the Lord's Prayer. Don't critique Jesus praying, man. You know. Beyond that, look at this prayer. Right? Heavenly Father, may your name be holy, right? Okay, the King James translators, you know, spaced out the wording a little bit, but this is an exercise in efficiency. It covers it all. All of your life intersects with this. I need my everyday stuff. Please forgive my trespasses against you, right? I need to be right with you. Help me not to be led into temptation. Deliver me, right? Father in heaven, your kingdom come. Keep doing that good work. It's a model prayer. If you have nothing else to pray, if you don't know where to start, pray the Lord's Prayer. Go to the model, right? But you don't have to go with this, but notice just how much Jesus practices what he preaches. He does not babble on here. He really, really prays short and sweet. And if you still want to spend time with God in prayer, then just start thanking him for stuff. But even then, just make it short and sweet. It doesn't have to be, oh Lord, thank you for how beautiful those roses are. They are truly lovely and they magnify us with your holiness, Lord. And we thank you for your holiness because this rose, though it is temporal, it may not last forever, but you are forever and ever. Amen. That's babbling. I'm very good at babbling and needing an editor. Lord, thanks for the flowers. They're pretty. Good prayer. Right? That's simple. Because it's relationship and it's lived to God. So pray your prayers to God, talking to God. It's not that hard. Do we need to cover all of the requests of the Lord's Prayer each time? Are we wrong to pray using different words in this prayer? The apostles use lots of other prayers as well in the Bible. That we just simply realize that we can say what we need to God and, you know, move forward, not backwards. And once you've said it, it's okay to be done. Don't pray at length. You can just simply spend time giving thanks to God for simple things. Or just think about how good God is. It's not about external spiritual behavior, but internal heart directedness towards God. Is this Christianity an awful lot simpler than we sometimes make it? It can be. Let's let it. This should not just bring you to your knees, but inform you as you go down to your knees. The rest of chapter 6, don't fast to impress people. Same sort of a deal, right? If you're fasting to impress people, good. If you impress people, you got what you wanted. I hope that you're happy, right? Don't store up stuff for life down here. And don't worry how you will live down here. Live to God. In fact, if you want the culmination of chapter 6, in contrast to all the people who live all the different ways to get ahead in this world, seek first God. Seek first God. Seek first his kingdom. And then he will make certain that you get what you need to make it through this life. I'm not in favor of necessarily tattooing yourself, but if you needed some indelible reminder to be put on you, that probably would be about as good as you need because it's so easy to forget that. If you will keep him first, he's got you covered. But live for him, not for this life down here, not for this place down here. Jesus has a great way of challenging us with simplicity. He did not die so that you could be impressive or respectable. Let me say that again. He did not die so that you can be impressive or respectable. And in fact, in this world, you are not promised to be respected for your faith. In fact, he warns that if you're doing this right, you will probably be bugged for your faith. Jesus died to forgive all your sins and so you could be reconciled to God. And so that believing you could have life in him. Live your life in him. Rejoice in him. And keep a simple faith, walking with him daily. Because wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let God be your treasure. Live with your heart aimed at him. This week, drive yourself slightly crazy as you do whatever you're doing, asking, why am I doing this? Confess any pride that might be driving you and ask for forgiveness. If you see someone in need, look for ways to help them unobtrusively, but help them even if you have to be seen, right? And spend intentional time in prayer in a secluded, distraction-free space, praying from your heart and mind to God as his child. And just see how concise you can keep your prayers. For some of you, this will be easy. For some of us, this will probably be quite a challenge. But let's try and let's live as his people, living to him. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you. Thank you that you made us be yours. Thank you that you've given us your word. Help us to live in it. Help us to live for you. Help us to walk each day with you in obedience and in great joy, living the life that you came to give us, an abundant life. I pray that you would be with anyone who feels less than because of their ability to pray or because of their ability to walk. Thank you that you teach us how to walk. Keep us living that childlike faith and hold us close when we need reassurance in it. We thank you and praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.